podcast listeners, welcome to Chris and Tom's Youth Group Podcast, the podcast where two youth group leaders try to figure out how to do youth group better. My name is Chris Morphew. I'm an author, youth group leader, and school chaplain here in Sydney, Australia. And as always, joining me from Melbourne is author, speaker, youth leader, and best friend of the podcast, Tom French. How you doing, Tom?
I am well. Thank you, Chris. And how are you?
I'm good. We're going to need to do something about that intro, though, because I am, and also probably to do something about the podcast as a whole, because, Tom, I'm no longer a youth group leader.
Oh, well, let's end the podcast now.
All right.
It's done.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Tom, et cetera.
We got to catch our brand new listeners up, because I think we might have a few, because I did a tiny bit of advertising over the holidays.
Great.
At one of my premier speaking engagements that I do all over the world. And so what happened that you are no longer a youth leader?
Well, it was nothing scandalous, which is good, unless you consider marriage scandalous, in which case it was very scandalous. But since we recorded our last podcast episode, I have gotten married and my wife and I have left our previous churches, and this Sunday we're going to be starting at a new church together. And so I am no longer the youth group leader at the old church that I don't go to anymore. Which doesn't bode well for a podcast about youth group with my name on it. So
it doesn't.
I've been trying to
figure that out, but I don't think we rush into anything too fast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so, I'll hang around and we'll see what happens. Do we want to talk about the future of the podcast now, or do we want to save that until the end of the episode?
Save that until the end, because some people might not care. So
yeah, that's a good point.
If you want to hear about the future, our future plans, hang around till we get into the deep end of the podcast.
Great.
But until then, we can at least talk about your last week, because that's true. We promised to come back and tell people, and we tried to line up a time in the week before you got married. But
which in hindsight was very ambitious.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt it might be, but, you know, I was happy for you to give it a try.
Well, we gave it several tries and none of them succeeded. But here we are several weeks after my wedding and I've got a little bit more clear air. So should we talk about youth group?
We should talk about youth group, and we should talk about yours, because yours is the more interesting one. It was, so can I, if I can remember, it was the last Friday of term and you were going to gift your youth group with a special gift, which, can I spoil it? Because I've already told people.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
So you're going to give them super soakers because they love water, and they're coming dressed in their clothes to get wet in, but it was the weekend of the rain bomb that hit Sydney, and that Friday night it just bucketed down, didn't it? Is that what?
So yeah, we didn't do water games because it would have felt a bit redundant to be outside spraying more water on people who were already completely drenched from 12 seconds of being out there. We were in the group chat like going back and forth, like, can we still do water games? Is there a world where this works? And the answer was no. And I had a backup activity anyway, so that was all fine and good. Stepping back a little bit, I asked and was granted permission by our actual like paid youth worker, who is the real boss of our youth group, to extend youth group by an hour. And so rather than running from 6:30 to 8:30 as we usually do, to run from 6 till 9 so that we could have time for dinner and time for a couple of extra activities. And look, it's all a bit of a blur, but let me recount it as best I can on the other side of the other blur, which is getting married and going away and coming back to a new term at school.
The lesser blur.
So we arrived. I had water pistols to the value of an undisclosed three-figure sum, and the first figure is not a one. It was the last discretionary purchase I made without my wife's permission of that size. Anyway, so I revealed them and I, you know, as usual, why not like ham it up a little bit? And so I had like two boxes of water pistols and I was like, you know, it was going to be water games, and, but we're not going to do that. But, you know, I know that you guys love water games, and I really believe, you know, the best years of this youth group are still ahead of it. And so I want to give you a gift to help guarantee that the next time you do water games, it's the best one we've ever done. And I pulled out the like half a dozen smallest water pistols that I'd got, which were still like reasonable size. And I'm like, oh, cool. Yeah. Water pistols. We love water games. Oh, shame it's raining. And then I was like, but you know, I just thought that was not a gift that was like appropriate to the size of my love for you guys. And so I then pulled out a big bag and just like one by one revealed the other 14 water pistols in ascending order of how big and ridiculous they were. And you know, the youth's threshold for wanting to play water games is even higher than mine, because at one point later in the night, I did find them like sneaking, like kind of taking a peek around the hall, and they were like, "Hey, Chris, where are the water guns?" And I was like, "Oh, I put them away." And they were like, "Oh, we were going to fill them up." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's why I put them away." And so anyway, at some point when the weather warms up again, they'll do water games. And so then we came to, I'd already planned to have two activities. And so the second one was a backup one. They were both auction themed. So we did a mystery auction. But then we also did, I gave them all a deck of cards. Like I split into groups, gave each group a deck of cards and says, you've got 15 minutes to build the tallest tower you can out of cards. And that gave them a few minutes and they were like trying to build card towers. And then I pulled out a paper cup and I was like, how many cards will you give me for this paper cup? And then somebody gave me a couple of cards for a paper cup. And then I had a straw, and then I had a couple of paddle pop sticks, and then I had three paper cups, and then I had a big wad of blue tack, and it just kind of escalated from there. And so it slowly morphed from being card towers to just a large craft project. And so that was the first activity that went pretty well. Some may say that most, like the common thread of most of my activities is like playing mind games with the youth.
Mm.
And that is to a small extent true, but I think I like to keep it, you know, within safe and fun boundaries. Anyway, then we had pizza. Then we did a standard mystery auction, which is basically like, for those of you who are new listeners, if you've seen Survivor, where they have the Survivor auction where everyone has a bit of money and I pull out random things of escalating value and they can bid on what they want and the winners get them. And in the past, there have been, I've auctioned off rocks that have then turned into currency, and I've auctioned off cups that have ended up being currency. And this time I had 200 little tiny plastic ducks. I don't know if you've seen any of those like viral videos where they hide 200 ducks around their parents' home or whatever. Anyway,
I had an Airbnb that was full of little plastic ducks, and we were allowed to take one home once.
Yeah. That's excellent. Anyway, so I, you know, the first item was one duck, and then later on there were like 20 ducks and 50 ducks. And then it was the ultimate long con, because the ducks did not become currency later on. They were just ducks. And my final words of the activity were, I hope you all like ducks. Let's go up to the other hall. But it was fun. They got some lollies and stuff in the mix as well. I do. Can I pitch you now that I'm actually, maybe this can be a recurring segment.
Yeah.
Where I pitch you a free youth group idea that I've thought of that I can't actually run.
Sure.
Actually, hold that thought. I'll finish talking you through. You through the night, and then I have an activity to pitch you. And if we run out of time, I can do that next time. So then we went in and I did my last talk, and it was basically kind of a final exhortation. We've got our, they have their five core values of their youth group, which is welcome, faith, community, hope, and transformation. And I'd been praying a lot through the term. Like, I knew at the start of the term that it was going to be the last term. And so I asked Becky, our leader, like, can I have the last week? And can I kind of speak on, like, just do a one-off? And so I basically went through and kind of talked through our five core values. Like, we used Philippians 1, like the first few verses of Philippians 1,
where
he who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And so that was like what it was all kind of centered around. And I basically took them through the core values of the youth group, why we do what we do, what I think that they're really doing awesome, and where I think they have like opportunities to grow. And I thought at that point I was going to be the one crying the most. I actually kept it together. Like, I teared up a little bit, but I kept it together pretty well. I was probably not in the top five criers by that point. And then, so I prayed for them, and then I basically said, like, that's kind of everything that I want to say to you generally, but I also, like, as I was preparing the talk, figured out that, like, I had stuff that I wanted to say to you individually, and so I had, like, written cards to all of them, and so I handed out the cards, and then there was just a lot of crying at that point, and, you know, and I'd really tried to take the time to write quite like intentionally and specifically and at the length I needed to say something worthwhile. And so that it did what I wanted to do, which was like not make the youth cry, but like, like I really wanted to create a moment with that night that was like, on the one hand, like expressing my love and gratitude and all of that, but then also like giving them the kind of cathartic, this is sad, our leader's leaving thing, but also to really set it up with like a real sense of this thing is going to keep going, and you guys are the ones who are going to make it what it is. Like, you don't need me to make youth group awesome. You guys are the ones that make it awesome. So just keep on bonding together. And in God's kindness, like, the timing is perfect, because last weekend as we record this, they all went away to kick together.
Oh, yeah.
And often our youth group leaders aren't necessarily the ones who go along to kick. It's usually like other people from the church, because we're like, you know, you don't need to be, after doing youth group every Friday, you don't also need to take them away on a weekend away. But this term, basically all of the rest of the leaders went to kick, which it sounds like it's been a really kind of galvanizing experience for the group. And it's great that they got to do a big fun thing together as the first thing that they did without me. And like, kick is their favorite thing in the year. And so to do it, and I've spoken to a couple of the youth, since they've come back, and they've all just come back like, it was amazing, it was so good, it was the best weekend, we missed you, but it was so good. And like, that's exactly kind of where you hope it lands when you dip out. Like, you know, you want them to not, like, you don't want them to not care that you're gone, but you do also want them to like remember that it's bigger than their human leaders, you know, that it's about Jesus, and Jesus is still there. And so I'm really like, I'm optimistic about the youth group. I'm excited about what's next for them. And it's cool. Like, the first email has gone out for the start of the term and I didn't write it. And the first Instagram post has gone up on the Instagram and I didn't post it. And it is like,
have they kept the font the same?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I gave them, all of my design, assets, and they are carrying on. So at least the graphic design will still be up to my standards, which is the main thing. But yeah, like it's bittersweet, because it's like, oh, this is, you know, a thing that I've really loved and poured my heart and soul into, and I'm not doing it anymore. but it's still happening, and the people who are doing it are great, and it's going to keep on being great. So, yeah. So there's probably, like, I could spend a lot of time reflecting on my thoughts about it all. It might end up being just a sort of, amateur therapy session with you as my therapist, and so it's maybe not the way to go.
No, I'm a terrible therapist.
But yeah, it was exactly how, like, that last night was exactly how I hoped it would land, and it is great to see them all kind of forging on without me. Oh, and also they all came to the wedding. Like, most of the youth group was there. And so that was excellent. Like, all of our, like, the church kids came, and the youth who go to our new church came, but then also, like, everyone else showed up as well in their suits that they'd bought from the op shop when the Minions movie came out, and they all went to see it in suits. They all had suits to wear to a wedding, and so they came along. It was really sweet. And so, I think I'm still, like, because I'm still processing leaving church, starting a new church, I'm, like, as we record this, in the gap between leaving the previous church and starting at the new church. Like, all of my feelings about youth group are tangled up in all of that. But I'm glad to have been able to end in a way that marked the ending. And I think we kind of, like, all of this stuff, I kind of talked through with the other leaders, and I think we've sort of, I feel like we got the balance right of actually feeling and creating space for the sadness of the chapter that's closing, but also not in a way that takes away from the next chapter that's opening. So anyway, there you go. That was my last one.
That's good. It's it feels like there are only so many times in your ministry where you get to do something as significant as leaving. And if you can do it well, it's such a blessing to you and to the people that you lead. And it's a feels like you get a little gift also from God to show you some of the impact that you've had. To some degree, it's like turning up to your own funeral, but you get to preach the eulogy. So that's
the wedding was a bit like that as well.
It was a bit happy.
Not, I don't want to. It was a lot happier than a funeral, but just like, oh, here are all of my favorite people gathered at church to focus on me. Maybe the feeling was not this is like a funeral, and more the next time this happens will be my funeral.
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe not a great point of comparison.
You can also play on, Tom. You can have a big birthday party. That's time where it happens. Probably
at the church.
Yeah. Good. So if you're going to give any advice to anyone who's leaving their ministry, what would you say?
Don't do it. It's too sad.
Okay.
Just stay forever. Dig in. Commit. No, I would say there is, when you serve in a capacity like being a youth group leader for a long time, there can be voices from the outside and voices on the inside that tell you you're indispensable and lead you towards thinking that, you know, it's all up to you and that you need to be where you are, or like God's going to really struggle to get done what he needs to get done. And I think for someone like me, it has been good. Like, God has been so gracious in the sense of, like, provide, like building a team around me that I could then hand off to in a way that was really healthy. Like I know people who have left ministry or youth ministry and there hasn't been a clear succession plan and there hasn't been a clear path forward. And I think that's really heartbreaking. And so it's not really advice, but like just, you know, knowing that what I'm handing off, like who I'm handing off to is really good. But I guess the advice maybe, and this is not even so much for people who are leaving, but just for all of us who are in ministry, is like, God doesn't need you. Like you get to ride along with what he's doing and it's amazing. But I, as someone who often falls into the trap of thinking I'm indispensable, not in a like, check me out, look how good I am way, but in a, oh no, it's all going to fall apart if I don't keep working and working and working, that kind of way. Like actually, God will keep on doing what God does. And it's been so nice hearing the stories coming back from Kick, from the youth group, and just being like, man, it is so exciting that I got to be a part of laying the foundation for that. I've been rereading 1 Corinthians and just all of the, you know, I follow Apollos and I follow Paul and I follow Christ. And Paul's just like, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. And we all got to do our bit, but we were just doing our bit. Like Jesus is King and he's the one that's making all of this happen. He's the one that's doing the amazing thing in your midst. And I think that's a good thing to bear in mind in any season of ministry. But I think particularly for me, as I've been leaving, to be kind of reminded of like, yeah, you're just a worker. You're just a worker in God's field, but God's the one who makes things grow, and he will continue to make things grow. On a more pragmatic level, I think, you know, once again, I will, until I die or leave this podcast, whatever happens first, I will keep talking about the book, The Power of Moments by Chip and Dan Heath. But I really, like what I really wanted to do with my last night of youth group was like create a significant moment, like to frame the experience, not at all in a manipulative way, but to kind of give it a sense of gravity. And I think that like if you are leaving a ministry where you are valued and loved, and when you are, like I think those catalytic moments, those real kind of end of a chapter moments give you this heightened opportunity to really speak into people's lives.
Yep.
And so take those opportunities, you know, and that's why, even though it was kind of insane in the weeks leading up to my wedding to try and write like 35 quite, you know, substantial letters to people in the youth group, it was so worth it because every kid got to take away this like artifact that's like, this guy really cared about me and he pointed me to Jesus. And I think that's really valuable. And that moment when like they're all just kind of sitting around reading the cards and crying, like they weren't all crying. Some of them were just like pretty fine with it. but like that, like, there was a moment there to like, this is the moment that we're grieving. This is the moment that we're being sad. And then we can all go out and get some ice cream and I can take the card away and read it later and realize, oh yeah, he really loved me and cared about me and wanted to point me to Jesus. And then like the night ended with all of them just like hanging out together and me chatting to the parents. And it was like such a great thing to see because it was like, they're already moving on.
Yeah.
And I was like, you could have waited at least until, you know, the next week when I'm not here anymore to move on. But actually, it's really great for me to see. And so, yeah, I don't know if that was, if there was any advice embedded in there, Tom, or if it was all just rambling. But
I think, yeah, like, I think it was, remember that you're not the Messiah. Things aren't going to fall apart without you. It's God's thing. Create moments and read that book.
Yep.
Put the effort in. Yeah, there's lots of stuff in there, I reckon.
There you go.
Yeah.
That was so succinct, Tom. You should get into podcasting?
I just got the AI to give me a summary.
Okay. Wow.
Good.
Cool. So that's where I'm up to with youth group. Not doing it anymore.
All right.
What about you, Tom?
Well, I'm still doing it. And we've had 2 weeks of youth group, I think. Since we last recorded. Is that right? 2 weeks? 3 weeks? I think three. It's very confusing. I don't know. No, I'm not sure.
I think
sure.
we had finished... I think you'd finished the term the last time we spoke. So however many weeks deep into this term you are.
2 weeks. We're 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks in. Because this is your first week back to school, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So we've had 2 weeks.
And you were at my wedding 3 weeks ago.
I was. That's right. So, yeah. 2 weeks. And we first week back, we had a Games in the Dark night, which was buying a lot of... glow sticks, and we played like hockey with glow sticks taped to a to pool noodles, and they didn't work so well. I mean, it was fun, but then the glow sticks just flew off very quickly. But we also had a glow in the dark ball and glow in the dark goals, which was just like I just taped glow sticks to some pews, and they were hitting the ball under a pew. But that was pretty fun, and there was like. They did some taste testing of drinks in the dark to see if they could pick what kind of drink it was. They built towers out of glow sticks, and I'm sure I ran another. Oh yeah, I ran like red light, green light, but also in the dark, and where we had like a pile of glow sticks at my feet that they had to grab and then take back to the starting point. So it. Cool. Which was pretty fun. It was also kind of stressful because it felt somewhat like a zombie kind of attack as they all got closer to me, and then they all pounced on the glow sticks all at once and then ran off with them, which I did when I was trying to like spotlight the youth and say, oh, I saw you. I tried to use all their names. And so because I have this thing as a youth minister, it's important to use young people's names as much as you can because –
yeah.
It shows that you know them and you care about them. But in the middle of a game like that, when you're trying to say names quickly and it's dark and you can't exactly tell who all the youth are, and the others of them are, you know, moving while you're not looking at them, it all got too much. And I should have just given up and said, you go back.
Yeah.
But it's the only time that name, saying people's names has let me down. Except when I get it wrong, and then I think about it for the next 4 years that one time. And then
I don't like this part of the conversation.
we had a talk from our 28-year-old youth leader, and he spoke about.
Is he still 28?
No, he turns 28. He was 27.
Oh, that's right. He was the 27-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
My apologies.
Yeah, it's January birthday.
That's right.
And he was talking about Jesus turning water into wine. Like I'd said to him during the week, or like when I thought he probably hadn't done a lot of prep yet, I was like, you know what you could do? Because I'd said just pick any of the Jesus talks because we're doing Jesus' greatest hits at the moment, which is just. You get to pick a story about Jesus and you tell it and we learn about it. And I want the youth to know that they can invite their friend on any week and their friend will hear about Jesus this term. Mm. I don't think I've articulated that to them as much as I should. So I better get on to that again. But anyway, so I was like, you could talk about the blind man because it's dark. And he's like, no, I want to talk about Jesus turning water into wine because I want to talk about how Jesus takes our shame that we want to keep in the dark and he allows us to bring it into the light and be healed of our shame. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, that's not what I think about when I think about Jesus turning water into wine. But he was talking about how it would have been quite shameful to run out of wine at the wedding. And there's so much like family, so much of your family honor was bound up in how you did weddings and how you did marriage. And so, excuse me, for this to happen would have been shameful. And then for Mary to know, oh, you know who deals well with this is my son. Take it to him. And it was a really good encouragement to us to take the things that we want to keep in the dark to Jesus, and that he replaces our shame with honor. And it was a great talk. So I was really, really pleased that he went with what he thought he should do and not with my suggestion. Although, you know, still the blind man, also a good story and easy for those of us who are, you know, not more concrete thinkers like myself, who can just go, oh, yeah, I see, darkness, blind, easy, makes sense. But it was, yeah, it was a great talk. I was really happy with it.
Great.
And then last week,
jump to last week, can I ask a really boring but maybe helpful pragmatic question?
Absolutely.
Do you have any, like, mitigating safe ministry safeguards that you put into place when you're doing things in the dark?
We do.
Because that's always been a theme that I'm like, that's cool, but also there are ways to do that really wrong.
Yeah, so we do stuff all together in, like, everything we did all in one room, all together. And also, like, things were in the dark, but it wasn't, like, totally dark because...
Yeah.
Partly because, like, there was one room I tried to get really dark so that when we built the glow stick towers in it, we'd build in the light.
You could really see it.
And I'd turn the light off and then it'd be really dark and look really cool. But then I taped up the windows with plastic bags in this room that only had one set of windows in it. So I was like, this is going to be great. And then there's an exit light that was on and I was like, oh. So the exit light ruined everything. And I couldn't bring myself to taping up the exit light because I figured...
Yeah,
there would be problems.
That's not safe.
Yeah. I mean, there were no fires on the night, so it would have been fine. But, you know, just
you never
probably
know
shouldn't.
You're not going to have a fire until you're driving away on the end of the night.
Yeah, and then in the end we didn't play it in that room anyway because communication things. But, yeah, so that's good. We have done games... where we, like in the old days, we used to play Sardines, which is a terrible game to play in the dark. And so I as I grew up and realized that we shouldn't be doing games like that, I changed it to Reverse Sardines, where people go and hide, and then you go and look for people in large groups. But then I still didn't like that because I'd go and hide by myself, and then another kid would come and hide in the same vicinity as me, and then I would be like, oh no, now I'm in the dark.
Yeah.
And I know where this kid is.
This is what I think of when I play, when I imagine playing games in the dark. I'm just like, no.
So we've stopped. So we don't play that one anymore because even though it's like really fun, just don't like it. The other thing we do though, just to mitigate things, which I've talked about before, but which we did this week at youth group, is we just tell the youth what our child safety things that we do are to keep them safe, so that if you find yourself hiding in a dark room alone with a leader and they run away, you know why, because we don't hang out in rooms alone with youth and things like that. So now, we got to this week and we had dinner together and we were looking at another Jesus story, which was when Jesus says, do not judge, because I wanted to look at one which was a famous saying of Jesus, and that was the one that I thought was probably one of his most famous sayings for people who aren't Christians. And so we did do not judge, and we used this Bible reading kind of thing that I got taught from a woman who works for Scripture Union, where you read the passage like one verse at a time, like going around in a circle, and then you go around your circle again and you read the passage where each person reads as much as they want to, and then they stop and then the next person takes over. So you can read 20 words, or you can read one word, or one syllable has happened, and that's pretty funny. And then you do it so that you read until the person next to you decides to take over. And then you do it so that you read until you don't want to, or the person beside you decides to take over. And then you do it the same, but you're not allowed to read after the person next to you. So it's got to be someone else in the circle. Mm. And so it kind of gamifies the Bible reading, and you get to read the passage a lot of times. So you hear, you just hear it read again and again and again, which is really nice. And it worked really well to engage the youth in the Bible reading, which normally it just gets read and then everyone forgets what happened. What the feedback I got from most of them was it didn't work very well in the transition from that to then discussing the passage. So in my group, it seemed to go okay, but what we did was I read it through another time and then I got them to make a noise in action when something happened in the passage. So if there was something that they liked, they went, yeah, and they did a fist pump. And then when there was something that they felt was important for them to hear, they put their hand on their heart and went, And then what we did is then we talked about why they said those things. And that worked for my group. I don't know if it'll work for the other ones. I've got the year sixes in my group. But the thing that I took away that I think is going to be most significant to my ministry moving forward is during that moment where I said, put your hand on your heart and say, as I said, I want you to think about what is Jesus saying to you in this passage tonight? So, and what is he saying to you in particular? Not stuff that you just think is good, but what is he saying to you? And then I got them to say what he was saying and why it was significant to them. But the change for me was that normally I talk about, I say, what do you think the Bible is teaching us at this point? Or what do you think the Bible is saying here? And my language just shifted that little bit to what is Jesus saying to us? And I think it's because I'd actually been away at Soul Survivor Conference the day before, and that's the kind of language that they'll use at Soul Survivor. What's Jesus saying to you?
They're not afraid to talk like God still does stuff.
Yeah. And I was like, that's like, why don't I talk like that? It makes it so much more personal, and it means that Jesus has things to say to them rather than it's just this intellectual exercise at digging into the Bible. And so I'm hoping to do that a bit more.
Great.
And yeah, so they're my takeaways. It's been nice to be back at youth group and nice to not be leaving. I realize that this year is the last year that I committed to being at my youth group, but I'm planning to hang around, so I'm not going to quit. So,
I thought we were going to get a podcast exclusive announcement there.
No, I was in
before you'd even told any of the partner churches.
I was in staff meeting today, and I almost brought it up. I was going to say this is the year I was meant to quit, but then I thought it might stress out my boss too much to even bring it up.
Oh, that's so kind. Now I can hear about it because it got mentioned on a podcast.
I don't think he listens.
28-year-old youth group leader is going to go and be like, hey, you know what?
Yeah. The 28-year-old youth leader, he told me actually he only listens to the podcast when he only started listening when he thought I might have been talking about him, and he might not still listen. So, but he's got quite a good mention this week. Maybe I'll let him know.
He has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there you go.
Maybe you can tag him in the show notes or something so that he can just search by his name.
Yeah, I'll do that. And that brings us to the future of this podcast, I think. Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, also you got a picture game. Yeah, I think we should talk about it. I don't know, we might be getting to the end of our...
I think we're getting to the long end. Maybe deep end. The next time I'm there, I'll pitch you a game.
Okay.
I'll give it a bit more... I'll give it a bit more forethought.
Finesse.
It's very nebulous at the moment. Yeah. So I'll bring you a better version next time.
So our current plan, I think, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that we are going to get some guests on the podcast to talk about their youth group over the next term. And then we'll see how that goes. And then we'll make more decisions after that. Is that right? Is that how you understand
things?
Yeah.
So we're going to, I think so. I think basically while I've been off, getting married and then figuring out how to be married, you have been compiling an Ocean's 11 style crack team of youth pastors who are going to come on one by one and share their gifts. And so I look forward to hearing from the one who knows how to bend themselves into a little tiny pretzel and then fit inside the safe.
That's really powerful ministry to young people. I think I have some lined up. Mm-hmm. Not a full term yet, but I'm getting there. I had someone lined up for last week, and she is the youth minister for the church who quit our youth group and started their own youth group. So I'm excited to talk to her. But she got sick last week. So, but hopefully she'll be on next week. Alex. See, her name's Alex. I can name her.
Excellent.
Because she's going to get officially named. So come back next week and you might hear from Alex.
Excellent. And my plan for now is to still be on the podcast most of the time. I say most of the time because it occurs to me that in the weeks where usually we would have to reschedule, you actually don't have to because you'll have somebody else to talk to.
Sorry, Chris.
So
you're superfluous to requirements this week.
We can ultimately segue it to just blank and Tom's youth group podcast, and it can be a different blank every time.
I don't know what we do about the name, but it can, like, it doesn't, just because you don't run a podcast doesn't mean it's not your youth group podcast. So you don't run a
that's
youth
true.
Group.
It
sorry.
Is still, yeah, that's true. And if I at least come on for a pitch you a new activity segment every week, then I can still be contributing something to the world of youth leadership, and that can be that.
Yeah, and you've got some good reflections. When we interview other people, I feel like you are much better at kind of reflecting back to them what they've been saying and kind of continuing the conversation. I just find that I sit there and stress about the next question I have to ask, and then I stress that I wasn't listening well enough, and then so I want to keep you around to talk to other
people.
All
right, cool. So the plan is, as you can hear, dear listeners, pretty loose. We'll get it. The podcast will go on in some form.
Yeah.
For some time.
The end of Chris's youth group career is not the end of the youth group podcast.
I still believe that this podcast's best years are ahead of it. This is not the podcast. You know, if this podcast is worth anything, it's because Jesus is holding it together, not because I am, and et cetera. When you think about it, my leaving youth group is really just a metaphor for the health of this podcast.
Yeah. I think that's right. I look forward to when you do officially leave, when you write a letter for each one of our listeners.
It's about the same number as people that I had to write to.
Slightly smaller.
It's doable.
Good. Well, this has been fun. And I'll see you next week, probably.
Also, apologies to our prize winner from before. I forget the details, Paul. But I owe someone a couple of air fresheners. Paul,
and
we had such great plans to hand over some air fresheners.
And the book.
In the week leading up to the wedding and the book, we didn't do it. But we'll make it happen.
Yeah.
It'll come. As your 28-year-old youth leader can attest, prizes come, but they don't always come on schedule. So, we honor our pledges to send prizes eventually.
A podcast always honors their debts. Is that what they say in Game of Thrones? A Lannister always pays their... I don't know, I stopped watching it because I was like, this is not good for me. But I remember that one line. There you go. On that note.
There you go.
Should we go?
Yeah. Well, see, the problem is usually at this point, you're like fading up the music. But
there's no music.
Whatever podcast platform we're on.
I didn't talk about what's happening at Youth Group next week.
Oh, yeah. What's happening at Youth Group? It's been a while.
Yeah.
What's happening at Youth Group next week?
I'm going to talk about Jesus Calming the Storm. And
great.
I don't know much else about what's happening. We have one of our new leaders who's running a game, and I just remembered that I was going to check in with her, make sure she's doing all right. So I'm probably going to do that when we finish this recording.
I feel like this podcast functions well as your, like, forming your to-do list for the following week's youth group, which is, if for no other reason, worth continuing.
Yeah, yeah. This is how I get my admin done. And yeah, we'll play some games, talk about Tears Coming the Storm. It's going to be a great night. That's it.
This Friday, I think I'm going to have a cocktail with my wife and go to bed early. So
you're a lucky man.
There you go. Different ways to spend a Friday.
Yeah, look, you don't have to keep telling us about what you do on a Friday night. We're not interested.
Oh, do I not? Okay. All right. I'll keep it to myself. Listeners, I'm going to assume that Tom is fading the music up in post as we speak, and I'm going to take this moment to say if you want to send us an email, you can do so at chrisandtomsyouthgrouppodcast@gmail.com. That's chrisandtomsyouthgrouppodcast@gmail.com. If you want to find out more about Tom and his books and his speaking things, if you want to book him to speak at your thing, go to tomfrentz.com.au. And if you want to come back next week, there'll maybe even be another show.
The longest out.
Thanks for listening.
And go to chrismorphew.com.
Oh, nailed it again.